Luke 24:49, Jesus is speaking. And now I will send the Holy Spirit upon you, just as my Father promised. Don't begin telling others yet. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. Later, Acts 19:2. No, we have not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Today, I believe in the Holy Ghost. Six words familiar from the Apostles' Creed. Six words commonly heard yet seldom thought through. What exactly do they mean? Do we believe the Spirit is a person, but the Creed calls him a ghost? And even if the Spirit is here today, does his presence differ from that of the Father's or of the Son's? Is there some distinction? In the final analysis, is the Spirit really that important? Would it all be different if he and his influence were suddenly removed from the earth? These questions and more are the ones we must answer. From Insight for Living, we read, as we read the Bible, we can be tempted just to focus on the parts we understand well and skip over those subjects that are mysterious or confusing. The third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is surely one of those subjects. But how is the church affected? More important, how is our own spiritual growth stunted if we don't understand the Spirit's transforming power in our lives? So let's get reacquainted with the Holy Spirit. Right now, I'm having fun putting together a slideshow and a message on missions for Grace Christian School Junior High Chapel this Wednesday. It's in keeping with this year's theme from Isaiah 6:8, send me. Pictures of the Kenya countryside and the kids and the crafts and the critters there. Once there, on one of the trips, a lady came with me to teach the adult Sunday school class. And she opened it up for questions. And someone asked her, if there is but one God, please explain the Trinity. Well, spontaneously, she took an avocado from the offering plate, took out a pocket knife and sliced it open. She pointed to the pit and said, what is this? And they all said, avocado. And then she pointed to the meat in the fruit. And she said, what is this? And they responded, avocado. And then she pointed to their alligator skin and said, what is this? And they again said, avocado. And she said, yes, each a distinctly different part of the fruit, but yet one whole. Miss Thompson also had a tough task. Her Sunday school lesson guide called for teaching her primary class about the Trinity. And it was difficult enough holding the young people's attention with stories and creative object lessons. But when it came time to keep them interested in the identity and the attributes and the purpose of the Father and the Son and the Spirit, well, that was next to impossible. And so while thinking through her lesson, she had a creative thought. She would take one big, thick pretzel with its three holes in the middle. Perfect. So when Sunday morning came, she stood up and held the pretzel out to the class, explaining how it was one strand of dough, but there were three distinct holes, each one having its own special shape. She pointed first to the hole here at the top and said, children, this is like God the Father. Think of this first hole as your heavenly Father. And then she pointed to the second hole, explaining slowly and carefully, this is like God the Son. think of this hole on the right as Jesus, your Savior. The class of fresh little faces seemed to be following her with keen interest. And so she continued, and this third hole is God the Holy Ghost. And just as this pretzel is made up of three separate holes, so the Trinity is one unit made up of one distinct person, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Well, Miss Thompson had the children repeat those names aloud, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, again and again, helping the class say the names, hoping to cement this concept in their minds. So she singled out little Johnny, and he was sitting close to the front, and asked him to come up and repeat the names of the holy members of the Trinity. Though reluctant, he slowly stood up to his feet and took the pretzel that the teacher held for him. This is God, God the Father. She smiled that he remembered. This is Jesus, the Son. Oh, she was really pleased now. And this third one is Holy Smoke. Such stories make us smile, often recalling our own childish bloopers. But if the truth were told, not many adults could even come close as Johnny did. To most folks, this person, work, ministry of the Holy Spirit are a mystery. He's not only invisible, but also confusing and even a little bit eerie, especially when for years he has been called it and formally addressed as the Holy Ghost. All of us have had earthly fathers, so trying to understand the concept of a heavenly father is not at all difficult. In traditional homes, the father is the one who is in charge, making the big decisions, being ultimately responsible for the family's direction and leadership and stability. There are exceptions and room for discussion, but in the final analysis, it's the dad who makes the final vote. The Son of God is not easy, not difficult to identify either. He was born as a human being and grew up alongside his mother, much like we did. Because he was a flesh and blood person, there is little mystery surrounding our mental image of Christ. And his role, not only as the Son of God, is fairly clear to us. Our familiarity with Jesus' suffering and death that we honored this morning causes us to feel close to him, grateful to him. He is the one who implemented his Father's plan for salvation. But the Holy Ghost, not even changing his name to Spirit, helps us much. Certainly to the uninitiated, the name still sounds borderline weird. And if his name is vague, it's no surprise that we most find his work and ministry the same. And since those who attempt to explain his workings are usually theologians who are often notoriously deep and unclear themselves, it's no wonder that the general public doesn't have a clue to understanding what he is about, to say nothing of feeling intimately related to him. To many, he is still the divine it. Chuck Swindoll, writing in his book, Flying Closer to the Flame, says, what we need is a much more personal investigation of the intimate workings of the Spirit without losing our anchor on theological truth. Admittedly, some of the Spirit's workings are more theoretical than experiential. For example, he is God, co-eternal, co-existent, co-equal with the Father and the Son. He possesses all the attributes of deity. He regenerates the believing sinner. He baptizes us in the universal body of Christ. He indwells all of us who have been converted. He seals, keeping every believer securely in the family of God. And there are a dozen more equally significant characteristics in working second name. These things are all true, but there is so much more that we've hardly acknowledged, to say nothing of experienced. We don't need another theological encyclopedia on pneumatology, nearly as much as we need an easy-to-understand volume on the practical difference the Spirit can make in our lives on a personal and lasting level. And that's what our new sermon series, beginning today, is all about. Not holy smoke, but real-to-life reasons we need the Spirit and the incredible difference He can make in the way we live out our lives on a personal basis. Max Lucado, in his new release, Help Is Here, he shares this personal account. I began attending church as a youngster, gung-ho, willing to tackle the mountain. I was barely into double-digit years before I was reading my Bible and memorizing scripture and doing my dead-level best to observe every command that I heard from the pulpit. I hoisted the backpack of good Christian living and set out to scale the lofty peaks of morality, spirituality, devotion. Always tell the truth. Never lag in faith. Pray more. Do more. Believe more. Believe me, I tried. But boy, did that trail get steep. Peer pressure, raging hormones, and a guilt conspired to convince me I'd never make it. Can a 15-year-old suffer spiritual burnout? Well, this one did. Maybe you know the feeling. The fire in your belly is running low, unkindling. And where is the firewood? It's not for lack of searching. The Lord knows you've tried. At least you hope He knows. You've signed up and stood up for everything that is right and good. Yet the cold wind in your face. Why the uphill struggle? Why the gray skies or the empty spot? Something's missing. And for the life of you, the life of you feels as if it is fading day by day, drip by drip, little by little. If that's you, can we talk? Can we start with this? The Lord does know. The Lord does care. It is not His will that you lead a lifeless life. He has something. No, someone you and I need to know better. Max, I don't recall being told about this source of strength. I don't fault anyone. After all, I owned a Bible. I could search its pages. Yet, had you asked me to explain Him to you, I would have shrugged my shoulders and said, the Holy who? Ask people who is God the Father. They have a ready reply. Describe God the Son. They can give you not hesitate to answer. But if you want someone to hem and haw and search for words, ask, who is this Holy Spirit? And part of the challenge is even found in the name. God is Father. We comprehend that image. God the Son. That image is manageable as well. But God as Spirit, that word even is mystical. One day, while studying for a message, I read the words of Jesus to describe the Holy Spirit as comforter and friend. I recall having this wonderful realization, I know that person. That was 3 decades ago, and I no longer think of the Holy Spirit as the Holy who, but as the heaven-sent helper. He's the ally of the saint. He is our champion, our advocate, our guide. He comforts and directs us. He indwells, transforms, sustains, and will someday deliver us into our heavenly home. He is the executor of God's will on earth today. He here to infuse us with his strength, supernatural strength. Was this not the promise of Jesus? He would not let his followers begin their ministries unless they knew the Holy Spirit. Don't begin telling others yet. Stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with power from heaven. By this point, the disciples had had some 3 years in training, and they had sat with him by campfires, walked with him through cities, witnessed him banish disease, command demons. They knew his favorite food and his favorite jokes and favorite hangouts. But they were not ready. They had seen the empty tomb and they touched his resurrected body. They had spent 40 days listening to the resurrected Christ teach them about the kingdom, but they needed more. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses for me in Jerusalem and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the world. Mark it down. The Holy Spirit comes with power. Power to make good choices, keep promises, and silence the inner voices of fear and failure. Power to get out of bed and get on with life. Get busy about doing the right things in the right way. Power to face the unexpected, unwanted passages of time. Power. That's what Jesus promised then. And this is what Jesus promises still. So how's your power level? Perhaps you have all the power you need. Life's a downhill stroll through a pleasant meadow. You never lack energy and enthusiasm or strength. Your step has a spring to it. Your voice has a song to it. You are ever a joyful, empowered person. Max Lucado continues, if that describes you, can I recommend a book on honesty? If that doesn't describe you, consider the possibility of a life-giving relationship with the Holy Spirit. No more walking this path alone. No more carrying weight you were not intended to bear. It's time for you to enjoy the presence of the Holy Spirit and enjoy the vigorous life he offers. Your Bible makes more than 100 references to the Holy Spirit. That's more than Jesus says about the church or marriage or finances or future. So why the emphasis on him? Well, God doesn't want a bunch of stressed out, worn out, done up, washed up children representing him in the world. He wants us to be fresher day by day, hour by hour. But let's be careful, for the topic of the Holy Spirit seems to bring out the extremists among us. On one hand, there are the show-offs, those people who make us feel unspiritual by appearing super spiritual. They are buddy-buddy with the Spirit, and they sort of wear a backstage pass, and they want everyone to see their healing gifts and hear their mystical tongue. They make a ministry out of making others feel less than godly. They like to show off. And then on the other hand, there's the Spirit Patrol. They clamp down on everything, anything that seems even a little out of line or out of control. They are the self-deputized hall monitors of the supernatural. If an event can't be explained, they dismiss it. So somewhere in between is the healthy saint. He has a childlike heart. She has a high regard for scriptures. He's open to fresh strength. She's discerning and careful. Both he and she seek to follow the Spirit. They clutch with both hands this final promise of Jesus. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Is it your desire to know the Holy Spirit better, to nurture your relationship with him? Then both you and I are on the same page. Scripture employs more than a dozen metaphors to describe the work of the Spirit. In fact, It's a testimony to his grandeur that one metaphor will not suffice. Do you want to be wowed by Jesus? The Holy Spirit is the ultimate teacher, John 14:26. Do you struggle to obey God's commands? The Spirit is the wind of God, John 3:8. Do your prayers seem weak? He is our intercessor, Romans 8:26. Unsure of your salvation, he is the seal of heaven upon the saint, Ephesians 1:13. The Spirit is the dove of peace who calms us, the gift giver who equips us, the river of living water which flows out from us to refresh the world. And the list goes on. So over the next few weeks, we'll ponder the amazing benefits of his divine presence. And whether this is a fresh encounter or a first encounter, it doesn't matter. God wants you and I to have the energizing strength that the Holy Spirit provides. I want to close this first message with a brief but honest confession, because I am not by nature a person who changes easily. I was raised by a very stable, consistent father and mother who provided a solid home to my brothers and I. We grew up securely. We were taught to love God and believe in Christ and read and trust and obey the Bible, be faithful in church attendance. In fact, my mother used to have a little pin in which they added little rungs after each year of perfect Sunday school attendance. And I remember there's at least six or seven hanging there. Much of my theology was hammered out on the anvil of homeschooling growing up in Africa. And as I grew, my roots were strengthened in the fundamentals of the Christian faith. My training at Bob Jones Academy and university drove those roots even deeper. And by the time I graduated, I had many convictions and few questions, especially in the realm of the Holy Spirit. But I've come to realize that there are dimensions of his ministry, the Spirit, that I've never really tapped. There's also a dynamic power in his presence that I have witnessed and even sensed on the mission field. So I now have a renewed, a strong interest in many of these things of the Spirit. So I look forward to digging in to the intimate and mysterious realms, for he is the Spirit of truth. And Jesus, my Lord, promised that he would guide you. He would guide us into all truth, John 16:13. So I invite you to come with me and on this exciting and creative journey as we get reacquainted with the one who lives within us. We'll go after the real issues and the practical side of the Holy Spirit, mainly the cell dimensions of his work in us individually and in us collectively. And why? Because these are the things that give you and I an edge on living in a sin-centered, sin-cursed world, surrounded by people who have lost their verve for life. And it's when these things come alive in us that we become instruments in God's hand to share his love, to share his message, to fulfill the mission, send me. Max tells this amusing story on himself. Some time ago, I was driving from one place to the next when I realized my gas tank was nearly empty. My indicator said I had less than 10 miles worth of fuel, and I spotted a convenience store and pulled on in, parked next to the pump. I placed the nozzle in my tank, swiped my card, began filling my car, and I set out to do the things that we normally do at such a location. I went into the store and bought a soda. I chatted with the store clerk. I looked at the hot dogs and thought about buying one, but realized and reflected on its contents and decided not to do so. I went back to my car, washed the windshield, took some trash out of the trunk, and removed the nozzle, climbed into the car. I was barely back on the road, and I looked down and my gas gauge read empty. I'd like to say that the pump clicked off prematurely. Knowing me and my attention span, however, I probably forgot to squeeze the lever. Perhaps. Does that describe your life? Have you forgotten the one thing you needed to do? Have you neglected the Holy Spirit? The Spirit of God longs to give you power. He will guide, teach, energize you. He'll shoulder your burdens that you never intended to carry. Challenges come with life, but they need not define your life. Help is here. Selah.